Chomps give the street. John and his comrades. Childhood. I had never seen the urban reality congested with cars on full freeways, GO trains, subways, and giant gray airplanes. I only met Toronto in flashing seconds, like at the airport sending Oma to Holland, a day at the zoo, exhausted running and ho-humming. Museums, Blue Jay, and hockey games, that exhibition place, the tower, all those pretty buildings. In McDonald's at the age of 5, seeing Chinese people speaking Chinese for the first time, Toronto blew my little mind. Toronto was a place of water slides and boat rides, a place of planetariums, aquariums, wonderlands, maple leaf gardens, hot dog stands, and practicing Muslims. The world there was urban. Once in a while, we'd venture in with the diesel Volkswagen, laughing and singing those long hours west on the 401 of freedom. Into the city of everything except for free parking. Toronto was a place to go when we'd saved enough to get a hotel. We'd wander around to Massey Hall concerts, Pantages, rock stages, downtown. Fabulous those flashing lights on Yonge Street were to me. After the Blue Jays had won a summer evening game, we were driving slowly to leave for the country, my little eyes staring out the window to the alley, a woman in the alley, on blankets, on the floor, in the alley's darkness, the horrible face of the old homeless woman, the worst look of penitence, abandoned and terrified. This horrible imagery of the woman in the alley, 5 seconds viewing lasted an eternity, could never shake the woman from my memory, the first time I was truly confronted by poverty. It was ugly. Teenager. When I was 15, the city sort of appealed to me, but grim images created disdain and pain. Murder and violence became a real consequence. I watched from the window, helplessly on acid. Spider was passed out, so nobody ever believed it. 1 and 2. 3 and 4, a body's dead. Gunshots blast racket into a corpse with its lead. I fell out of my chair and lay on the floor as colors massaged my acid vision. Squirming on the apartment floor, I can't take this anymore. Confronting me with the reality of Toronto. The city was not a happy land of sexuality and poetry. Roller coasters, penny loafers, shopping in Chinatown. A city just to hang around. Suburban sprawl intensified. Smog alerts said stay inside. Not worth a 3-hour drive. I only love the countryside. Changing times. I remember hunger and squeegee suppers, drunken suckers, ducat coppers, and Mohawk rockware, punk rock shows that would shock average Joes, parties everyone you'd know would go, fist-fighting skinheads, acquiring natural dreads, dirty, dangerous anarchists devoted. Poverty became a source of anger and rage. The alley's woman haunting my face still fills my tank with motivation. Somehow and somewhere was an organization who felt the same, a coalition with a perfect mission. At that time, the Tories declared war on the working class masses. The people voted them in so the Tories wouldn't have to listen. One by one, each of us fell into right-wing oblivion. The marginalized were not the government's concern. Only the globalized corporation would get their turn to shape the common-sense revolution that we burned. Harris. Welfare was declared impaired. Harris smashed it everywhere. They slashed it and thrashed it 21.6%, so people could not pay rent. They were forced to sleep on pavement. The Tories removed rent controls. People got rolled out of their homes 15% faster per year than before. Maybe more. The eviction machine eats thousands of human beings who scream when sheriff opens screen doors. I can't take this anymore. Privatization's like a third world debt repayment plan. Who can understand the economic logic of starvation? Right-wing bastards of master manipulation, far above the desperate deaths of frozen homeless again. The minimum wage does not reflect the cost of living and profit from multinational corporate conglomerate corporations. None of this makes any sense. Out of the misery. The quality in life in Toronto began to corrode. Somebody needed to start a business of creating hope, and that happened. The fight began back out of the sea of broken bottles, needles of heroin, out of the violence, out of Parkdale, out of the smog, brown and stale, out of the projects and nonsense came determination. Came a little English man who inspired everyone firsthand. Out of the tragedies came dignity and victory. Out of the loneliness of the street came hospitality. Out of unforgiveness came equality. In the industrial era, a section of the old city, out of the old red plain brick seeps the people's misery. People rest on benches until police henchmen unleash their intentions. A ticket or a warning. Move along. Homeless, sleepless zombies only do wrong. The police attack in riot gear throngs. Those people fought back and won. Before there was no recourse to fight class wars that infect us all like open sores. This was our own survival. John helped inspire people to change their weakness. John. Toronto was actually an awful city. more and more that occurred to me. But John and his excellent comrades saw the beauty that something ugly could creatively blossom into. Some said him to be Saint, others said he was Satan, convincing homeless citizens it's okay to fight and win. He eventually became a fan of my poetic ranting. Just another human being who's good to share a drink with, but a great man nonetheless. His hair turned gray after many battles with police. After militantly taking the streets, he turned gray leading the way in a revolutionary office. He turned gray discussing street tactics. He turned gray when we got our asses kicked by hypocrites. We were drinking in a bar in Ottawa. He'd just given a talk. Then to the bar we had a walk with the other activists. One person there called him Chomsky of the street. You're not referring to my age, are you? He said with a Guinness grin. He was such a little witty man. He told stories about the 1940s, when auto workers decided the time to fight had arrived in Windsor. The unions fought for everything they begged for, in the context of class war. John said the workers surrounded the plant with tremendous stands, so bold the cops could not get in. Now those stupid, lazy middle-class unions do nothing for average humans. John told us about the 1930s and the labor movement. John told us that their power is long dead. The bosses shot it in the head. He told us we'll have to fight it instead. John spent the best years of his life creating an attitude of resistance that would survive the police taking him and threatening 7 years of detention because of the riots in 2000 he was facing the Canadian prison system. They fought the police at Queen's Park with all they could muster, homeless fathers, homeless mothers, lots of homeless and hopeless others, anti-poverty protesters, the detested lowest denominator in Canadian words. John had no soup kitchen strategy that begged cities for more money and fill shelters. He did more than hand out free clothes, dealing oppressors vicious blows, creatively try to overthrow, tear off the band-aid solution, get to the heart of the matter by revolution, overcome. That's what John and his comrades did in the courts, on the streets, wherever a fight was needed, wherever the people were mistreated, wherever the conflict heated. Hatred of charity. I once thought Toronto was a place of intellectualism, universities, colleges, and thought prisons. It took a long time to see through them for the ruins they represent. My turn came to beg for food, many times too. In my need, strangers were rude. Then my turn came to give back to the community, but giving money wasn't enough for me. On a January day, I took some people out to donate blankets, a job I saw as deservedly thankless. I really wasn't impressed nor proud, as feeling good that I was doing all I could. From my perspective, blankets were not sufficient. But my friends were happy being charity, so I swore at them loudly. This isn't a fucking homeless safari. We'd drive slow down the street so the girls could point excitedly. There's someone in need of our feel-good deeds. Dressed to be pretty, the blondes ran to a blanketless, frosted woman who said, "Fuck off, get lost." The girls' jaws dropped completely amazed. What did that woman just say? Blankets just don't cut it. Soup, there isn't a need for it. If we could smash the system of profit, smash the laws that work to protect it. That's what John and his comrades did. Immigration, corporation, welfare cases were won. The comrades used advocacy to challenge the system of poverty. Demonstrations began to awaken politicians because there are no more symbolic protests. Escalation was occurring. Strategies used that worked best. When people in Toronto became expendable, those people made an avenue to fight back in full. Representing the marginalized who could not compromise, lest they give their lives, John and his comrades won one case at a time. In office buildings, in courtrooms, in the streets, that sense of doom could be defeated by ordinary street kids, by the public who always wanted the simplest shit. John and his comrades made it known this was no longer a dream to sit on. This movement across Ontario, comrades had seeds of struggle sown in a world that the richest one-tenth own. In Toronto, this was a common goal, the battle for the working class soul. October 16th, 2001. Victory, victory, destroy the Tories. No guts, no glory on October 16th. Thousands stood in their feet for victory, facing brutal riot thought police. But we did not retreat. The mayor has called us thugs and terrorists. Are they on drugs? They should be embarrassed. Victory. It sounds so sweet. Could you repeat it for me, please?
Victory.
Our victory was Harris's defeat, so continue to attack his policies that still be. If there's to be a future with bread to eat, workers, students, poor, and those who teach, shout victory lively to end this hated siege. Victory, victory started before October 16th, through years of protesting Mike's poverty machine, 6 years of struggling against all odds extreme, victory over an oppressive regime, victory over a well-armed team, over the media and suburban mainstream, victory over rich liars and fucked up police. This is one victory. I hope that we can have many that are revolutionary. Victory came over enemies who once scared me. With us or against us, they called us terrorists after our protests. When we were only being honest, we hate Mike Harris and this common sense promise. Fighting to win. John and his comrades were enemies of the state, outspoken with actions that were great, without symbolism geared to promote intellectual communism. They didn't discuss ideologies around tables with books and called it a meeting. These people's hearts were bleeding, needing confrontation and drum beating. John and his comrades agreed they would play the role as the poor in their half of the class conflict, to use that anger to topple systematic injustice for 60,000 homeless in Toronto. The numbers grow and grow and beef up our movement more and more. The Tenant Protection Act is stacked to support the landlord's back. 1,500 people a month suddenly lack a roof when the tribunal, the sheriff, the state evict them from their place of dwelling in hate. For Don Gordon and Jean Desprenais, who haunt my head, two of the hundreds of hypothermic homeless that froze to death, them two at Christmas when suburban children make their wish lists, the last two to die frozen in the year 2001. There's no question it's time to do something. Now, the news media plays images of horribly overcrowded homeless shelters. The truth is out there, but I doubt anyone cares. Passing laws against street people that aren't fair. The responsibility we all share to topple a system that put them there. Capitalism has its losers. Human pollution. The excess waste that remains when the job is done. This is an unnatural system, so much some can't venture in. They are left to the streets for violence when the policeman comes. Always beggars and never things getting better. Always people looking down to people on the ground. Never a clear sense that it's wrong what they've found. Always a sense that wealth brings respectability, but never a man both happy and wealthy. Never a poor man who is healthy. Always protests. Never governments listen. Always escalation and media defamation. Never been a violent demonstration until the police came to save globalization. Firing rubber bullet guns. Firing ferocious fear from factories of death and stormtroop police. Always a movement, but never enough of it. Always the comrades who get no respect. Always a fight to stop urban neglect. Always a machine eating all of our forests. Never enough love for the poorest, the weakest, the homeless. Always business interests. Suit, ties, vests. Sympathetic governments. Always summits to spread Western disease. Always armies of police. Always million-dollar photo ops inside the compound with their cops. There's no consideration given to those who must chip in to save capitalism. John and his comrades didn't listen. They fought to win.
Thank you.
Joey the street poet.
Joey the street poet.